from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of November 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net. I'll bring you up to speed on the winter meeting season as it lays out, including the Farmland Owners Conference that's to take place at the Illinois Valley Central College, December the 2nd near La Salle, Peru, the Ag Climate Tools Workshop to be held here on campus December 2nd, and then the Illinois Farm Economics Summit / Farm Assets Series, which kicks off on Friday, December the 13th. And as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast, too. And that with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net. Online.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at 427.5. That was a penny and a quarter higher. The March up a penny and a half at 440. May two higher at 447.75. January beans at $10.26.25, up 22.5. The March 10.37.5, up 22.5. And November soybeans at 10.48.75, up 16.75. Soft red winter wheat in the December down a penny and 3/4. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net now joins us to talk about what's been happening in Chicago. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us today. Soybeans managed to jump. They had been down. Can you tell me about what took place?
You know, the bean market's been an interesting situation. Yes, I mean, you closed, about 26, 27 cents off the lows, depending on which one of the contracts you look at. So, you know, essentially what happened today, you know, is that the soybean oil market is just on a tear. Yesterday soybean oil was up $1.35. Today we went up another almost $2. A couple of contracts actually did whenever you get out to March. And so, you know, we actually had the oil market was strong. And then we saw, of course, soybean meal was up just a little bit as well. And so really beans kind of floundered around. They were down, they were up, they were down. And then all of a sudden about mid morning, you know, we caught fire later in the morning, and you saw beans with over 20 cent gains. And so, you know, clearly it doesn't have a lot to do with the fundamentals here in the U.S., fundamentals in the world as far as stocks are concerned, you know, but palm oil futures have been awfully strong. You know, bottom line is vegetable oil prices around the world have just been strong as can be, and that's definitely spilled over in soybean oil, which has helped the whole soybean complex.
So not much to do with the fundamentals, any to do with politics?
I think that most people thought politically beans were going to get smoked, which is what happened on Tuesday night once basically everyone understood that President Trump was going to be elected. Beans were down 17, 18, 19 cents. And then you came in, you know, during the day session, actually, and the bean market actually found a bid, you know. And so you come in on Wednesday, you know, and actually beans didn't have a terrible day. You closed well off the lows, about 21 cents off the lows. So, you know, two straight days, you've had over 20 cent off the low type closes, you know, which is really quite impressive. You know, today you actually settled above the 50-day moving average there, you know, at 10.09. That would be on front month futures, but we probably ought to look at, you know, look at January, because that's what everyone's bidding off of course. And Jan as well, you know, Jan settled at 10.26.5, you know, and your 50-day moving average was 10.24.75. So really your next objective would be that 100-day, which is up here at 10.42.5. And that definitely looks within range right now.
So I do have some questions about this. Is it, and maybe the fundamentals support some of this, is it that China and other nations are front-loading still their import needs for the coming, I don't know, 6 to 9 months?
I mean, it's a possibility. You know, I do think there's probably a little bit in here, you know, of folks thinking, well, maybe this bean crop gets dialed back a little bit here on the report tomorrow, combined with having pretty darn good exports here recently. But Todd, if we're honest about it, it's going to be a really tough row to hoe, even with the pace that we had, even with this front loading type atmosphere we've seen here recently, to make the case, that we're even going to hit the USDA goal. So as far as the US fundamentals go, unless you take a drastic cut to production, which I don't necessarily expect here tomorrow, I don't think that you're going to be able to get super friendly on me unless you get into some South American weather issues. So I do think there's a variety of things going on. There was a lot of money on the sidelines, Todd, going into the election. There was so much uncertainty. Most people felt like, hey, the equities markets are going to fall apart, commodities are going to fall apart. None of those things have happened yet. Obviously, it's quite early here, but equities actually, as had one heck of a run yesterday. And then of course the bean market is about 40 cents off the lows that it posted on the overnight after the election. So actually, things look pretty good right now.
Let me give you a scenario and see what you think of this, as I was trying to think through what the possibilities are, given Trump's first term as president. He tends to fulfill the promises he makes. So let's say that the 60% does go into place, the 10% across the board on every other nation. Given that tomorrow we don't see much in the way of changes in yields and total production in the United States, timing might be really important between now and January 20th as it relates to sales, I think. But I could be way off base on how I'm considering what the options might be, particularly for soybeans. But corn, as it relates to Mexico, could have a similar issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I know that there was a lot of rhetoric there. I do think, if he has the appropriate people advising him, the last thing he's going to do, in my opinion, is ruin a really good market that we've got as far as corn to Mexico is concerned. As far as soybeans to China, yes, they've been a good customer, but as you know, Todd, they've been kind of dwindling as far as how many beans they're wanting to secure from the U.S. And as right now, I guess I'm a little bit concerned that China has showed their cards. They don't want to deal with this no matter who the president is. But I certainly don't think they want to deal with this if President Trump slaps 60% tariffs. So I want to see what actually happens before I get super worked up about it. But one thing I would tell you, given everything we've already talked about, Todd, is that when you're 40 cents off of the lows from less than maybe 30 hours ago, it's probably a pretty good time to step in and take a look at maybe making a few sales. I do think rewarding an upward market on beans with sales now into the next few months is probably a very wise thing to do, because I'm afraid we might get into an era, where bean rallies are few and far between.
You're willing to set on corn longer than that?
I think that corn's an interesting dynamic right now, and that, of course, demand's been awfully good. You got to be super cautious, though. Very much front loaded as far as exports are concerned. Ethanol numbers have been okay here recently, but as far as the spot market goes with ethanol, you're still looking at a little bit of a struggle. Now you're back over 70 on crude. That helps out somewhat. But I wouldn't just expect that these ethanol grind numbers are going to stay super, super strong. And so, from my vantage point on corn, basis is should continue to improve. That's what we've seen. We've seen just phenomenal basis improvements in some areas, because a lot of the growers, once they decide what they were going to do with those final bushels, pretty much shut the bin doors and said, hey, you're going to have to come get the corn. And so, some of these post-harvest type basis, they're awfully good. And I think that you could expect that maybe until closer towards the end of the year. But then you got to be aware that, a lot of these folks may open up January delivery type bushels as you get into mid-December, and the party might be over as far as big basis appreciation goes then.
Thank you much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Up next, a bill has been introduced in Congress that just might bridge the gap to the stalled farm bill. Mike Davis reports.
With farmers up against tight margins and continuing to wait on a new farm bill, the Farm Assistance and Revenue Mitigation, or FARM Act, has been introduced to Congress to help offset some of that financial pressure. Farm CPA Paul Niefer on the Top Producer podcast says the $20 billion sought for farmers could be a significant boost.
It was introduced by Representative Trent Kelly. He's a Republican on the House Ag Committee from Mississippi. And again, the major farm organizations, you know, the American Farm Bureau, National Corn Growers Association, American Soybean Association, et cetera, all are on board with this. They believe that it is a fairly good ad hoc program, especially the fact that the farm bill, even if it got enacted now, it would not help any farmers until, at the earliest for most farmers, next October.
Niefer explains that the act is specific to eight particular crops.
And those crops are corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, rice, sorghum, oats, and barley. So for those eight crops, we're going to use a specific formula. For all the other crops, USDA has been told to use a comparable estimate of gross returns. So they are going to be required to utilize the same methodology. You know, they can't really go outside of that methodology.
Niefer says the Farm Act would not be based on base acres.
Unlike ARC and PLC that are based solely on base acres, and again, you only get paid on 85% of base acres, this is based on what did you plant for the 2024. So if you planted 1,000 acres of corn in 2024 and 1,000 acres of soybeans, you're going to be paid based on 1,000 acres of corn and 1,000 acres of soybeans. Plus, you're going to be then be eligible for an additional 50% of the acres that were prevented from being planted.
Niefer says, for the most part, he likes what he sees in the bill.
I like the idea that they're specifically telling USDA, hey, this is how you're going to calculate this. Don't deviate from this. Use what we have told you, not what you decided to come up with.
Paul Niefer is a tax principal and authors a monthly column for Top Producer magazine called The Farm CPA. I'm Mike Davis.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. The winter meeting season is about to kick off, and you can check the calendar at willag.org, willag.org, for upcoming events. Mostly they are tagged in red in that calendar, and you'll need to move around within the calendar using the navigation within the calendar portion of the home page again at willag.org. If you get yourself forward to November the 25th, that's a Monday prior to Thanksgiving or the week of Thanksgiving, you'll find details about the Farmland Owners Conference. That'll be held at the Illinois Valley Community College. That's near Oglesby, not too awfully far from La Salle, Peru. And then coming up on the 2nd of December, you could come here to campus, that for the Ag Climate Tools Workshop. In fact, I talked with Dwayne Friend, who's setting that up for University of Illinois Extension, about it and asked him a few questions, including what really the workshop is all about.
Well, we always know that there's risk related with weather and farming, and we also know that the trends in weather have changed. We're seeing a lot earlier springs. We're seeing heavier precipitation. We're seeing more opportunities for flash droughts. So what this workshop is for is to help people connect with ag climate experts, explore some of the resources that are available, and discuss some real-world scenarios.
Well, Dwayne, who do you think should come to the workshop?
The workshop's open to field crop producers, specialty growers, farm managers, crop advisors, and any other ag professional.
If they come, who will they see?
Well, besides University of Illinois Extension, we've also got speakers from the State Climatologist Office. We're going to have folks from the USDA Midwest Climate Hub, the Midwest Regional Climate Center, and the National Integrated Drought Information System, along with folks from the Prairie Research Institute.
And what are all those folks going to cover for the day?
Well, again, we're going to be looking at some of the different tools involved that people can use. Some of these will be regional scale tools. We'll have Beth Hall from the Midwest Regional Climate Center talk about some of the tools that they have. We'll have Dennis Toddy from the USDA Midwest Climate Hub talk about some of their tools, along with Molly Wilson from the National Integrated Drought Information System. Then after that, we'll focus more on state and local level tools. And that's where we'll have Trent Ford from the State Climatologist Office talk, along with Jenny Atkins from the Water Survey.
I understand there will be some continuing education credits available for the certified crop advisors, three of them, in fact. So where exactly is the program and when does it take place and what does it cost?
First of all, there is no cost involved with this workshop. The workshop will be held at the Sims Meeting Room in the ACES Library, which is on the University of Illinois campus at 1101 South Goodwin in Urbana. The workshop runs from 8:30 to 1 p.m., and not only will there be a free lunch, but parking is also being included, so there will be no cost to that as well.
Sounds good. How do you get yourself registered?
People can register at go.illinois.edu/risk tools, and they do need to sign up by November the 25th. We'll send out information on parking instructions after the 25th.
If you have questions or you'd like to register for this event, you can do this on our website at willag.org. You'll need to look in the calendar for the item in red on December the 2nd, titled Ag Climate Tools Workshop. It's on campus. It's free of charge. Details are there, but you will need to register. Speaking of which, you'll also need to register if you'd like to come to the Farm Doc Daily December conferences. Those are coming up on Friday, December the 13th here on campus at the iHotel. The Farm Assets Conference is the first in the Illinois Farm Economics Series. It's a whole-day event that includes the ag economist and the crop scientist from campus. The agenda also has a couple of other items. You'll want to check that out. Or if it's easier for you to make one of the other programs, the IFA Series, which only includes the ag economist, will be on the road to Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb the following week on Monday the 16th, Tuesday the 17th, and Wednesday the 18th. You can register for those and find all the details again where at our website, willag.org, willag.org. Let's turn our attention now to the global growing regions here to check in on them with us is Mike Tenura, meteorologist. He's the president and CEO at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin in South America. If you could work your way from those areas that aren't actually planting at this point or are very earlier in the season, Argentina through Brazil, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, let's focus on soybeans. They're just starting to plant in Argentina, and they've been in a drought for the last several months. That all ended over the last week or two. A big rain on Sunday in particular really wiped it out. So conditions today are much better than they were a few weeks ago for planting. About 3% of the crop was planted as of a week ago, and we look for those numbers to steadily increase as we move through December. Now, there's not much rain in the forecast over the next 10 days. We will see a few storms this weekend, but that's about it. And we would be a little bit more concerned about this if it had not rained about 3 or 4 days ago. But since it did, at this point in time, there's very few concerns in Argentina. And if concerns are going to develop, it wouldn't be until the end of the month or sometime next month. As far as Brazil goes, they've also had some pretty nice rains in recent days, but especially if you go back further in time. Over the last month, there's been some pretty decent rainfall in most of the country, and that has things looking pretty good for soybean development today. It's going to stay stormy in the northern areas going forward over the next week, and so they'll stay in a good situation there. The southern growing regions will be a little bit dry over the next week, and that'll probably extend into the period beyond then as well. We're looking for below normal rainfall in much of southern Brazil over the next 2 weeks. Now, they're still planting. It's still very early in the season. But that being said, If it does stay dry for the next couple of weeks like we're talking about, it won't be too long after that that you'll start to need some rain, because soybeans start to turn sensitive later on this month in these southern areas, and especially in December. And that's at least in the state of Paraná. It's a little bit different as you move further south into Rio Grande do Sul, where they plant more of a full season variety soybean crop like you see in the U.S. So they have a much longer growing season. But in Paraná, the key periods are coming up in the not too distant future. So this dry patch is not ideal, but it's still going to be a while before concerns could develop.
Here in the United States, a couple of things. Where will rains continue over the next couple of weeks? Two concerns. The hard red winter wheat growing regions, and then the Midwest. And in the Midwest, across the country, I suppose, soil temperatures near the 4-H level need to stay below 50. I don't think that means as much today as it did 2 weeks ago, because we're getting closer to the month of December. But still, just trying to get an idea of how mild or cool the temperatures might be.
Well, the temperature forecast is fairly straightforward over the next 10 days. It's going to be much warmer than normal in most of the central U.S. The only exception is going to be in parts of eastern Colorado and far western Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, where a cold pocket exists. But other than that cold pocket, most areas are going to be very mild. Highs will be in the 50s, 60s, and 70s across a big chunk of the central U.S., with lows only in the 30s and 40s. These type of temperatures are anywhere from 6 to 12 degrees warmer than normal, and that's going to last over the next 10 days and potentially even beyond then. There's a real absence of Arctic air across the continent as of today, and there's very few signs of it developing over the next couple of weeks. That all could change as we move forward, because we are in a La Nina setup. Then typically you end up with a cold winter in that with this setup. Coldness, though, is defined as winter in December, January, and February. So that's still beyond the forecast horizon. But the point is that temperatures are not going to be changing a lot. We've been seeing some pretty big rains with this, as you've noticed, over the last 10 days or so. And we're seeing a real big rain event now in the hard red winter wheat areas. 2 to 3 inches is coming up for about half of that crop over the next 3 days. That's more than a month's worth of rain, maybe even 2 to 3 months worth of rain at this time of the year. All this is focusing on eastern Colorado, western Kansas, western Oklahoma, and western Texas. Even some snow is going to mix in with this, with some real heavy totals just west of the wheat areas in eastern Colorado. But the point is that this is a drought-busting event, and that's not going to be much of a story here for a while, because this is just a major event for this time of the year. Some of that will move into the Corn Belt and the Mid-South as we move into this weekend and next week, but we're not talking about heavy totals. We're just talking about normal totals there.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Ted.
You're welcome. That's Mike Tenora, of course. He is with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. You may listen to him again on our website at willag.org. Look for the closing market report there at willag.org. Just click and play right from the website, or if you hit the podcast tab, that's kind of the second set of menus in the middle of the page, you can actually subscribe to the Closing Market Report podcast. It's right there in the player. Hit subscribe, or you can share it, all kinds of other things as well. You can listen to the Closing Market Report Commodity Week, which we won't record until tomorrow because of the USDA reports. Remember, that's at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and that reminds me that set of menu items in the middle at willag.org also includes a USDA tab. We'll update the numbers there as soon as we can after the report is released at 11 o'clock. It's all at willag.org, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you for listening to the Closing Market Report.